Our next guest is a pretty big diehard Beatles fan himself. His name is Bryce Zabel. You know, as we've discussed here for months, UFO news is breaking so often, so fast and furious. It's pretty difficult to keep up with all of it, let alone read it and absorb it. One content source that I always find time for is the essays on Medium by Bryce Zabel. Thoughtful stuff from a guy who's been around the block. He was a correspondent for CNN, won multiple awards for investigative reporting for PBS. He also won the Writers Guild Award for screenwriting. He's produced five primetime series, including the NBC UFO thriller Dark Skies and the TV adaptation of The Crow. He's done some really great work on the UFO issue in the last couple of years since the current wave of media coverage has happened. And we're going to talk about some of that, get his take on the upcoming UAP report to Congress right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Bryce Zabel, great to have you back.
Hey, George, thanks. You know, I have to tell you how much I've been looking forward to being with you tonight as our entire world stands at the crossroads of this incredible change. I mean, it's such a radical and exciting time to be alive. So thank you and all your listeners. I want to celebrate this historical moment and have some fun tonight talking about our future.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it a couple of times on the program here and elsewhere that I never thought I would see this. I didn't see this kind of rapid change in the dynamic, in the media environment and congressional attitudes in my life. I hoped it would happen at some point. And I don't want to get our expectations too high because we both have sort of a general idea about what's coming here. It's not like capital D disclosure, but it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And while it may not be, as you said, capital D disclosure, it seems like we're verging on something else that I would call confirmation. Just literally the confirmation that we're not crazy. I mean, what has already, come out in the last few months, and certainly with the leak on the UAP report, is the very first part of it is, A, they're not real. And I mean, they are real, and B, they're not ours. I mean, that's a pretty major piece of confirmation, given all the stonewalling that we've gotten from our own government over the years. So I think we're on a track right now. It does feel like it's on, but I agree with you. You and I have had this conversation before where you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but on the other hand, I think just any student of history would have, especially UFO history, would have to say we're on a different track now than we've ever been before. This is unprecedented times.
Well, a lot of it, I would say, a really important aspect of that is the media environment, and that's something you're pretty familiar with that I wanted to ask you about. I mean, this change from we're not publishing it to we can't get enough of it is astonishing. I mean, it's every day. You've got multiple articles every day. A lot of them are yours or on Medium.
You can't keep up with it. If you try to I spent in preparation for appearing with you tonight, I tried to print out a lot of just the more recent ones from even just the last month and make sure that I'd read them all. And they're just coming fast and furious because there's a lot of catching up to do. When the media has spent so many years being kind of obtuse on this topic and not really wanting to put any real effort into it, then they've got some work to do. And they're all trying to do it, and they've all been unleashed. You mentioned that I have been in the media. I started out in television news, and I worked at CNN. And I got to tell you, at the time I was at CNN, that was a long time ago, but if I'd suggested to the assignment desk, let's do a UFO story or let's start covering this topic, I don't think anybody would have thought that was a great idea. And now, of course, CNN and everyone else is involved in it. It's all over. I mean, when 60 Minutes reverses its, 57-year policy of never really covering this and then covers it recently, that's a big deal.
And then the response was so big. I mean, I had told those guys, the producer, Graham, and some of the other folks who were working on that piece, you're going to be amazed at how big the response is. And they were amazed. I mean, they had 7 million YouTube views in the first week. I don't even know where it is now, but I'm sure it's huge. And they're covering a story that was basically reported 3.5 years ago.
Exactly. They're a little behind, but they're catching up. The way I would look at 60 Minutes is this may have been their first real story, but it won't be their last.
No.
they're going to find out that exactly what you just said, that people are hungry to hear this material. And they're not hungry to hear the material because it's sensational and it's sci-fi. They're hungry to hear the material because they're starting to realize there's something true and authentic about this phenomenon, and they want to know more about it, and they should want to know more about it. It's going to remake our world and reshuffle the deck of how society is even organized. So they better be paying attention.
I mean, you know, seeing it unfold, seeing the mental gears clicking for really good journalists who've never really given this a fair shot or never given it any thought at all, and watching the discovery process for them, amazed at how much it touches the pulse of the public, but also amazed when they start digging into the files and stories that you and I have covered for a long time. But, you know, seeing them discover, hey, did you guys know there was a Project Sign that was a study of UFOs, and that there's a great deal of material to A, learn and learn about, and then to report and get a new angle on it.
It's very hard, and a lot of them are going to have to be doing some serious reading to catch up, and I hope they are doing it. I mean, George, what's interesting is you, as an investigative reporter yourself, who has broken more than your fair share of stories in this area, you've had to sort of wander in the wilderness a little bit on that, because there wasn't a lot of company in some of those years, I can only imagine. And if anything, I think that we're about to see what happened with the Watergate storyline. If you think about what happened back in the 70s, it was the Washington Post story at the beginning. They owned Watergate, and so they worked very hard to own it, and they kept reporting it. And as soon as places like the New York Times and other organizations realized, oh, this really is a big story, and we're not going to be embarrassed when we cover it, they started getting in because the water just was room temperature for them. Yeah. And I think that's what we're about to start see happening. Right now, people are writing those survey articles that sort of trying to bring people up to speed, and they're sort of an echo chamber on what the other guys are reporting. But I could almost guarantee that and at least a half a dozen major news organizations right now, and maybe more, there are investigative reporters that are being teed up and working on stories. And once that starts happening, I mean, the floodgates could open, because then you have the let's face it, competition is something that really works. And we're about to have competition in the UFO field. So hold on to your hats. It's about to get very, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, journalistic juggernauts that are now looking at this for the first time, I can't wait to see what they dig up. You know, some like 60 Minutes, they're really interested. And when they're a talented organization, and when they get up to speed, I hope they can break some new ground unexpected. And, you know, the ultimate effect of that is it becomes harder to put the genie back in the bottle when you got 60 Minutes, New York Times, Washington Post, all of the news networks working on this story now. It's going to be hard to turn that spigot off.
You know, we've lived through a time where there are a lot of people in this country that want to take shots at the mainstream media. And I think that you've got to, well, let's just take a step back from that. Those organizations you named have resources. They have money and resources, and they actually have reporters who are assigned to show up and work beyond 9 to 5, but to work hard covering stories. So whatever you want to say about them, they're going to be turning over some new material. And the competition to get it right is going to ratchet up the quality of the journalism. It's already happening. You can see it happening. And I find it very encouraging. And that's why, yes, I don't want to get my hopes up too much about this UAP report. But on the other hand, I think that we have entered a time where the progress is inexorable. And while the question that people like you and me may want to discuss is how fast is it actually going to happen, I agree with you. The genie is not going back in that bottle. We are beginning, and I think you said it earlier tonight in your conversations, we may not be where we want to be, but we are sort of at the end of the beginning. And frankly, what's interesting is that beginning was like 74 years. Yeah. And But now we're about to accomplish more in the next 5 years than were accomplished in the last 74.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, scratching one suspect off the list of murder suspects, meaning, you know, sort of the, it's not ours, we didn't build this stuff. That's a really big deal. I mean, that is, if that's all that's accomplished by this first report, that's progress for sure.
You know, I kind of look at it as phases that have to be accomplished. Like, your listeners are enormously experienced in this, and they probably have a higher level of knowledge about this topic than the average person. So they're already further advanced on it. But if you think about it, phase one really has already been won. Phase one is, are they real or are they not real? Well, now the United States government, for the first time, is really just coming out and saying, yes, they're real. They seem to be physical. They do things that we can't do ourselves. So that's done. Phase two is like, well, are they ours? Are they U.S. technology? Because we've got the most money and the biggest military. And it seems like that's been resolved now. Everyone from our politicians to the Defense Department are saying they're not ours. So now we're on the verge of phase three, which is right now there's a bit of interest in trying to explain that, they could be China or they could be Russia. And I think that is, well, you know this, and so does your audience, but much of the media and government are starting to act right now in some of their coverage as if the UFO phenomenon started in 2004 with the Nimitz.
Right, yeah.
So to them, it may be very credible that some of the objects might be man-made by either us or our adversaries, and that may seem very credible to people. But to me, I think that's just insane, because we know that this phenomenon goes back at least to 1947 with Kenneth Arnold and with Roswell, both things that happened in the summer of 47. So I don't think China or Russia or us immediately after World War II had devices out there that could go Mach 5 and were transmedium. So I think we're about to put part three to bed, which is, they don't belong to our adversaries either. And now at that point, you get to do the math time. If they're not ours and they're not China or Russia, well, then who are the other suspects?
Right. You know, I'm willing to be tolerant of that facade that it might be China or Russia, in that it might give Congress some cover.
Yes.
If they create a permanent program, which I think we all kind of hope that comes out of this, give it some dough, give it some authority, and the power to break through some brick walls and get the goodies, instead of it just being a search to confirm aliens or whatever they are, it could be, well, you know, we're also looking to figure out if it's Russia or China. It gives them a little bit more justification and political cover. So I'm okay with that, as long as we all understand that that's not what the answer is. You know,
it's not the answer. And also, not all of this is up to the United States anymore. I mean, we have led the world in probably what you might want to call the cover-up, or what Bassett calls the truth embargo. That has been essentially ours to run, but I don't know that it is forever. For example, all this discussion that it might be Russia or China is probably going to propel Russia or China to enter the fray and start talking about it. And you might find, I don't know where I heard this today, but someone's talking about how China is, I think one of the articles that are that you put up today is about how China might even want to bring this to the United Nations, because they know it's not theirs, and they're as interested in finding out what's going on as we are. So the games have begun.
Well, when Senator Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader back in 2007, when he got the $22 million that went to OSAP, that later morphed into something smaller, ATIP, he got that money in part because he wanted he believed that Russia and China are both trying to figure this stuff out. Now, I know for a fact that Russia was. They had what might be the world's largest UFO study that lasted 10 years, got thousands and thousands of cases that poured into their Ministry of Defense, and they were trying to figure out the technology, the same as the Chinese, at least according to Reid, were doing as well, and as we have done in secrecy to some degree. So, you know, Yeah. I wanted to ask.
There's a lot to be scared of about this phenomenon. I'm sure we'll touch on that later. But if there is a hope in where we are today, it is that by publicly acknowledging that something odd is going on in this technology that we're all seeing is exotic, regardless of where that comes from. It's not coming from here. So acknowledging all that to ourselves and publicly among nations may cause us to have reason to work with Russia and China in ways that we've not worked with them before. And that would be, probably be very good for the world.
Yeah, I agree. But if we don't work with them, just think. I mean, the nation that faces up to this, that publicly acknowledges it first, that puts some resources behind figuring it out, has a much better chance of developing a technological explanation, maybe even duplicating some of the technology, than the people who still operate in the shadows and pretend it's not real.
All that is very true, and yet, at the same time, we may be in a scenario where there might even be a disclosure race. In other words, if the just imagine, if you will, for a minute, that the United States intelligence community learns that China is going to admit that these things aren't theirs, they're not Russians, they're not ours, and that they think they're exotic, meaning they're from either they're extraterrestrial, ultra-dimensional, something very strange. If we knew that China was about to do that and we're sitting on information of our own, we might want to beat them to the punch, because whoever goes first is going to own this moment in history forever. And that's kind of an important thing to own.
So you wrote about this, in a sense. You and Richard Dolan wrote this book, AD, After Disclosure. Right. I haven't read that in a while, but how does it stack up to what you guys were envisioning, anticipating, and what's happening now?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The book you're talking about is AD, After Disclosure. I wrote it with Richard Dolan. It's the 10th anniversary. And Richard Dolan, you know, is just a brilliant historian of this, in addition to being a thinker. But and I'd read his first two books, UFOs and the National Security State, and he and I got to talking, and we both wanted to read a book about what it would be like after we all admit to ourselves that these things are real. But nobody had ever written that book, so we decided that we had to write the book that we wanted to read, and that's what we did those 10 years ago. So you know, you bring up an interesting point. When you write an entire book that is sort of projecting into the future, you're going to get some things more right than others. But it's very interesting, because I can't blame you for not reading it again. You have a pretty big reading list. But in preparation for this show, I did read it again. And, you know, I will say this. Some things just are not predictable. We didn't predict Donald Trump. We didn't predict Tom DeLonge. We didn't predict the coronavirus, and we didn't predict Bitcoin. Some of those things, not that those things are disclosure-oriented things, but they affect the world, and it's just the kind of things when you're trying to project in the future. My point is, things don't always lay out exactly as you see it. We did, by the way, get toilet paper hoarding right, which I thought was kind of amusing.
I'll tell you what, Bryce, hold that thought for a second. We'll come back to this, what you got right and what was not so right. We're talking with Bryce Zabel. I want to get into Medium, the place where you find a lot of his essays, and there is some pushback on that site and others. The heat is on, and that's true here in the Mojave Desert, Las Vegas, very hot temperature-wise. I think it's probably true back east, too, the Pentagon and CIA and the keepers of the secrets, because now a lot of us are looking for them. Major media organizations, Congress wants to know what the deal is. The public is hungry for to learn more. And the people who've been keeping it quiet, debunking, misleading, lying for a long time, it's comeuppance time, I think. It's coming soon. The deadline for the UAP Task Force report, basically within the next 2 weeks. Hopefully we're going to be seeing that. The public will get to see it soon after Congress gets it. But, you know, it's going to be bumpy. There is going to be pushback. You're already seeing it in a lot of places. I imagine the debunkers are getting a little bit desperate at this point, because things are definitely not going in their direction. But there will be pushback from the scientific community and others. I'm going to talk to Bryce Zabel about that, how he sees it going, right after this. Bryce Zabel, we were talking about the book you co-wrote with Richard Dolan, AD, After Disclosure. We know what wasn't included and predicted. What about the things you did predict? How accurate were you?
Well, you know, first of all, we may be 100% accurate, because the truth is, disclosure is not where we are right now, and we haven't gotten past it. So a lot of what Richard and I concentrated on was the disruption of just, you know, going forward. Once we acknowledge that this is not normal, what's going on. So, you know, there will be disruptions in government and science and education and culture, in the military, you name it. Across the board, everything is going to be transformed in one way or another from this. And so I think the jury is out as to whether we're as accurate as possible about that. But I think a couple of things that I learned reading the book over is, I always put it in film terms, disclosure can happen in either a hard cut or a slow dissolve, all right? A hard cut is a UFO hovers over Los Angeles and 700 people take clean video of it and it's on the nightly news and the conversation's over. Now we're already...
Bryce, are you there?
Is the slow dissolve.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we were in this sort of the BC world, the before confirmation world, and now we're going into AD world. And that's a different thing. And yet it's still happening. So we got a lot of that right. The main thing that we got right reading the book over is the idea that the way disclosure is going to come about is being sold probably as a national security issue first, which does seem to be what's happened. If you think about the whole Christopher Mellon and Lou Elizondo and the UAP report and what Marco Rubio is saying and people like that, national security seems to be the way into this conversation at the beginning, but it's not where it's going to end.
Yeah, it makes you so you're not crazy. You're not quite as crazy as I want to just go out and find if they're space aliens. You sell it under a premise that makes sense to people.
And you peel this onion a layer at a time. And so I think we got to get, I think people are just now getting their heads around, and many people haven't even read many of these articles, but those that have are just now starting to get their head wrapped around the big one, which is, well, they are real and we don't make them. So that's going to take a while to sink in. Then the next phases will start to reveal themselves. But at the end of the day, at some point, if there's a reality to these things that is not of is either non-human or not of this earth, that you can't hold that out forever. At some point, somebody in a position of authority is going to have to just come out and say that. And when they do, I do think we are in the AD world at that point, whether it be the Pope or the Chinese premier or the American president or NATO or whatever. When somebody finally starts uttering those words, then we're going to have a different world. And I think there will be disruption. The thing is, I always love to quote from Dr. Strangelove, the character Buck Turgidson, who is the general. And when he's asked about nuclear war, he says what I think we can say about disclosure. He says, "I'm not saying we ain't going to get our hair mussed." and that's kind of how I look at disclosure. Yeah, I mean, look, we just got through the pandemic. That wasn't that easy. And we're not completely out of it. These things are tough. We've had a very tough year. 2020 is going to go down as one of the horrible years of American history, but we're getting through it and we're moving on to whatever the new challenges are. And the same thing is going to happen with disclosure. It's going to come and it's going to be bumpy, and some people are going to do well with that information and some people aren't. But I would submit at the end of the day, it depends on what the information is. It is true that we do need to study this stuff, George, but I happen to believe there's a whole lot more known that meets the eye right now. I mean, if we've had some of the top people from the United States of America studying this issue for 74 years, then I think it's time for some of that work to be shown. And I'll bet it's quite extraordinary.
I would have to agree with you, but we also know there are silos of information, stovepipes, yeah. and the number of people who may know the most information, that's probably a pretty small number. You know, the people who have got their hands on the goodies or know where they are, they certainly know more than we do, but they may not know at all. I mean, let's say you had craft and wreckage, right. even bodies. That doesn't necessarily tell you where they're from or why they're here.
No, it doesn't at all. It just lets you ask better questions and ask them more confidently. And I think that as we go forward, it will be nice for that work to be shown so that we can all participate in it. You know, I served for a period as the chairman of the Television Academy, and I remember when I got elected to that position, one of the people at the Academy took me aside and he said, just remember one thing. All of us together are smarter than any one of us. And I think that's really valid as a way to look at the UFO issue. For the longest time, for these 74 years, we've been having a smaller group and probably an increasingly smaller group who get brought in on the total picture to try to study it. And what we really need to do going forward is we need to blow those silos, as you mentioned. We need to blow them away. And we need to get all of us involved in studying this issue. And I think once we do that, we're going to start seeing not only real progress, but it'll be progress that we can all begin to discuss in a public forum. I don't know what is really going on any more than you do or anyone else does right now. It's bound to be a little disturbing, and we'll just have to start studying it. We don't have another choice.
You know, as you and Richard Dolan and I have said before, and a lot of other people, I mean, it will be the biggest discovery, the biggest event in human history. I mean, it's such Absolutely. A profound change in so many ways that you guys have written about. But so there's going to be pushback. And I think about science. I am disappointed in the media, news media, why there hasn't been more interest all along the way. And the consequences for those who do try to investigate it. It's been a bumpy ride, I can tell you, over 30 years. But I'm disappointed in them, but I'm really disappointed in science. Why wouldn't mainstream scientists be interested in this? It's so profound, so interesting as a challenge to investigate and figure out. There will be Nobel Prizes awarded for this stuff to scientists.
I think the answer to your question is twofold. On a practical basis, the reason they don't do it is the stigma that has been attached to the UFO issue over the years has made them feel like they will not be taken seriously if they want to study it. And as a consequence, they won't get funding for research and so forth. And the other part of the answer may be that there's just something deep within the human psyche on this topic that causes people to react the way they've reacted over the years. And I think we will probably have many studies done just on how we dealt with the UFO issue. I mean, let's face it, one of the things that we talked about in AD after disclosure was the history books are going to have to be rewritten. Studies of human psychology will be undertaken that will try to look back at that history. It's going to be a fascinating time. It may be a scary time, but it will also be a historical time. And I'm with you on this. I'm not the young man I used to be. And so I'm glad that we're getting on with it, because I think too many people over the years, people like Donald Kehoe and Stanton Friedman and people that really gave their lives and devoted the fiber of their beings to trying to understand this story and tell other people about it, had to pass on without knowing what happened. Alan Hynek, things like that. I'm eager to know as much as I can know before I pass on. And I think a lot of people feel that way. It's like, okay, let's just do it.
What's next? Let's have it. Let's have it.
Yeah.
You know, I have mentioned a couple of times about pushback. You see it already for some scientists who are, even though they're being presented with stuff they really have ignored and haven't paid attention to, they still pretend to be experts. I'm thinking of Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's tied himself into knots, increasingly weird statements. He clearly does not know squat about this. He has not studied the UFO cases. He doesn't know the technology that our pilots use. And his all he had, you know, why not a reasonable position of, I look forward to learning more about this, as opposed to, you know, some of the flat-out denials that he's done.
It's a mystery. I'll tell you something, George. I think you and I should challenge Neil deGrasse Tyson and a partner of his choice to a debate and try to resolve this, because it's getting old. He's not progressing his knowledge about this, and he's not behaving in a way of curiosity. He's a charming guy. I get that. And he's smart and knowledgeable, but there's just something wrong with the way he's looking at it. You know, Carl Sagan had a little bit of that too, where Carl would say that the universe was teeming with life and there were, remember, billions and billions of planets. And yet he would say UFOs can't possibly be here because the distances are too great. Well, you know, they're here. I don't know exactly where they're from, but they're here. So it's time for the Neil deGrasse Tysons to begin to grapple with that. Now, I think the thing that's kind of sad is that the media still goes out to talk to him to get a soundbite from him. And I saw him interviewed on CNN the other day, and it just made me want to tear my fists out of the ceiling. Because at the end of it, he said, well, I'm just glad the aliens didn't land at Comic-Con because, man, with all those costumes, how'd we tell who was who?
Yeah, or, you know, well, why don't we have a cigarette lighter from a flying saucer? That old chestnut.
It's just ridiculous. And I just expect more from him, and I guess I need to learn how to lower my expectations and move on. But I will. But let's also put the positive spin on this. It is true that there the skeptics and the debunkers, like the Mick Wests and the Neil deGrasse Tysons, are still out there. But what's different this time is that the very connected people, some of the governmental representatives, officials, intellectuals. Some of these people are not throwing cold water on this anymore. And in fact, they're more than willing to talk about it. And I'm thinking of people like Marco Rubio, who's been, regardless of what one might think of his politics, what I find interesting about him is here is a man who you know is politically ambitious. He intends to run for president in 2024. And yet he's been as outspoken as anybody on this topic. And so he must think that it's not going to hurt him. Now, think about that. I think what we can predict, and here's an AD prediction for you, we went through 2020 where almost no, even though this news was out there, it never came up in any of the debates. I mean, think about that. That's just sad. But I don't think it'll be that way in 2024. It's going to be an election issue in 2024.
Well, it's going to be one sooner than that. When's he running for re-election to the Senate? He's going to have a challenger. You can bet it's going to come up.
That's true. But he has done exactly the savvy thing. He has painted it in national security. So he's saying, I just want to get the answer. If it's Russia or China, I need to know. But he knows where. Look, he has had, and so have many of these other people, have had some serious briefings where we may have seen the three video clips of these famous videos. But they've seen the high-resolution versions, and they've seen the extended play versions. And these guys know that this is not normal. And so they may be playing a game, the political game right now, of how to talk about it, but they know where this is going, and they know it's going there fast. And they know that by 2024, it's going to be a big issue.
You've been writing these amazing essays and thought pieces, think pieces for Medium. Tell the audience, for those not familiar with Medium, what it is, how you access it, why you're writing there. And also, I want to, maybe we'll have to do this on the other side, but there's a lot of pushback that suddenly happened the last couple of weeks on Medium. People who are basically saying, it's anything but aliens. No, not that. Right. It can't be. And clearly, our military and our pilots and our sensors have to be all wrong.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's take that. Medium is just think of it as a a giant ecosystem for writers and readers to come together. The reason I like to write on Medium is that there are no ads, right? So people can read an article and not have to fight their way through the ads. And by the way, people that are listening to us right now, if they'd like to read any of these articles, I've put them out there under a URL where there are no, there's no paywall and no ads or nothing. And that's whatifufos.com. So whatifufos.com. And that you can see those for free. But the reason I started writing on Medium, George, is that I felt like it was the one thing I could do that wasn't being done, which is I just saw something missing, and that was professionally written magazine-quality writing that includes analysis and commentary. You know, I'm seeing a lot of articles from the mainstream media where they're trying to sort of bring people up to speed on things, but they're not doing what you and I are doing right now, which is analyzing it and commenting. And I remember growing up, you know, I'd love to read Newsweek's back page because it had a great essay from a great writer. I'm trying to bring that to the UFO topic, I guess, is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, it's good. And as I said, I've seen a spate of articles that are taking the opposite position on that.
Let me get into that, because you're right. But that's just the nature of the beast. You know, you've got 170 million people reading Medium, and then you've got a bunch of people who are trying to write on it. And it's just human nature. People go, well, if everyone's saying that this is what's going on with the UFO story, I'll take a contrary position.
Yeah.
I'm not getting personally a lot of pushback on the articles I'm writing, because the people who are reading these Trail of the Saucer articles are very literate people on this subject. And I think they're enjoying just seeing it discussed for a change in a way that doesn't ever mention little green men and
right.
Tries to take the topic seriously. And I think there's been a hunger for that for many years. And it's an itch that we are scratching by trying to write. And it's a collective of writers I've assembled here. It's not just me, but it's other people who have something to say. And just trying to get more, increase the speech, get more people talking about it in a legitimate way.
Yeah, it's good to have multiple viewpoints. I'm not complaining about it. I just have noted there was a whole bunch of them in the last, 2 weeks. So on that site.
I've seen some of that, too. But I do think that kind of stuff is going to fall away. I mean,
sure.
The weight of the evidence that is about to be presented and will be presented in the future is so strong and so compelling that at the end of the day, anybody who's following it is going to say there's something there.
All right.
There may be a lot of noise, but there's a signal. There may be a lot of smoke, but there's a fire.
Bryce Zabel is my guest, talking about all things UFO and UAP, including the task force report that's coming up.